From Relay FM, this is the Pen Addict, episode 612. Today's show is brought to you by Pen Chalet and the Canalea Pen Co. My name is Mike Hurley. I'm joined by Brad Dowdy. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm excited for today's show. We've got a lot of fun things to talk about.
Yeah, it's a product related show, which seems to be kind of like like about every few weeks. Like, I catch up on all the new product launches. Sometimes it's, you know, 10 different topics. Sometimes it's 3 or 4. This is on the lighter scale, but it's around some interesting stuff that I always enjoy talking about. I mean, who doesn't enjoy talking about pens and paper? And all the analog tools that we love. What was the old tagline?
Oh, I think it was like pen and paper and the analog tools we love so dearly.
Yes, something there you like go. That. There you go. You're a professional podcaster. Mm-hmm. So, throwing back as old as that phrase is my fascination for Retro 51. Mm-hmm. Yours as well. You know, I don't buy near the amount that I used to. You know, I'll save myself for, you know, 1 or 2 a year I might get. So last year they started the Pan Am Airlines series with their vintage, like 1960s-ish Hawaii artwork poster. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, this is like one of, like, I'll be straight up with y'all. I have not used this pen, right? Like, I have not taken it out and given it a run. I have a Retro 51 pink robot sitting here on my desk. Mm-hmm. This is one that I made several years ago. And if I want to use a Retro 51, that's kind of the one I'm picking up. But I just loved this one so much. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get it. And they've continued on this whole Pan Am series, right? They made the plane, right? The Pan Am Clipper, which those are always like super, super popular. And then they just launched, which is what I wanted to put in the show notes, is they just launched the London and Japan posters for that go in this series as well, like kind of match the Hawaii style. So I don't know the exact dates or times exact. This still looks like the 1960s type of
that's
artwork and poster.
That's what I got for. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I didn't want to. There was really no reason for me to bring them up other than it's London and Japan, which is like two like really cool areas, and I always like these Retro 51s, and I like this artwork. So, what do you think about these?
I like the Japan one more than the London one. Mm-hmm. But they're both cool. I like the style, like it fits with the Hawaii. I think they've got to take the Pan Am pen out of the lineup, though. I know that that's what it's for. Like, it is the Pan Am, but like, it looks really weird to have that plane in this product now. Mm-hmm. It was less weird when there was just one poster, but now there's like three posters and a plane. It's like, what's the odd one out here? But I understand why it's there, because it is part of the license. But like, I think that the poster pens are a better product for me. I think they're more intriguing. I think these are good additions. I will say, weird to me, Hawaii, Japan, London.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But like, yes, I think that is like, it's the Americans' view of the United Kingdom. that it is one place and that place is London. Although that is also the Londoners' view of England, to be honest. But
yeah,
like, they should have done an England pen.
Yeah, England, yeah.
At least, but yes, funny. I get it. That's because I understand maybe doing Hawaii, it's just Hawaii. Because people are less familiar with the, like, you know, maybe you do a Honolulu, I don't know, but
yeah, that would be it.
It was surprising to me not to see like Tokyo. I think like Tokyo would have been better than Japan.
Yeah.
Because then you could also do like Kyoto and different aesthetics. But yeah.
Right. Never mind. So maybe these are just like literal from the poster catalog, right?
I'm guessing that they are.
Which makes the London one, yeah, it's a little bit corny. You know, it's the corniest of the three, but like, it's a cool, you know, it's taken all.
Hey, I found the poster. You know,
yeah.
I've actually found the poster. I just Googled Pan Am London poster, and it is the actual, I found the poster. So yeah, they're basing them literally on old Pan Am ads, and there is one here that just says London, and it is a like a bus conductor hanging off the back of a bus holding on to the London, like, so there you go, that's what that is, I suppose.
Yeah, and I love the Japan one just because of the aesthetic of the kimono, like the extra long, the over exaggeratedness of the design is really cool. Like, I'm probably just going to stick with my Hawaii, stick with that color. Like, I don't need another one that I'm not going to use, but I really like these designs. I think they did a good job. The interesting thing to me that I thought when I was going through these is, like, I bought the Hawaii, I think it was $64 last year, and the new ones are $74. So I don't know if that's just like a regular price increase, because there shouldn't be, there's no technical aspects that separate, like, that would cause a price increase that I'm aware of in these three models. Even the Clipper is less, and those usually go for a little bit more, the plain ones. So yeah, like, not a big deal, but like, that's a pretty decent price increase.
It's also year over year to have pens in a lineup and the price changes in
four pens, three different prices.
Yeah. I mean, the Pan Am Clipper one, I understand, because that is constructed differently, right? Those ones usually have got like texture to them.
Yeah, they're textured, like the little rivets on the on the panels,
but it
and
is
stuff. Yeah.
It's weird to have the poster ones be at different prices when they look ostensibly exactly the same. Who knows?
Yeah, so maybe
Retro 51 have done a price increase, but they're not doing it retroactively, which is also I think fine if you're going to do that, right? So
yeah, like Sailor did that when they did theirs like several years ago, and most companies do that, or they at least have a grace period.
Yeah, for sure.
Of a pretty sizable, you know, 6 months to a year type of thing. So anyway, cool designs. What's cooler, Mike, is that the Pilot Custom 823 Clear is now available outside of Japan. Okay. So the Pilot 823 is a super beloved, well-respected fountain pen, one of the best fountain pens on the market. In any price point, even though it's expensive, it's a little over $300. It still feels like one of those pens that's underpriced for what you get for it, from it, and the options you have. But they've only, at least as long as I've been in fountain pens, they've only ever done three barrel colors, and they're all translucent. So there's a smoke, which is kind of like your grayish black, and these are like you can see through the barrel. And then there's the amber, which was, that one was mostly available worldwide, the only one. And then the clear, so, which had a clear barrel, and they all have like a gold trim and you know, solid color finials. So the amber was available everywhere worldwide, and then smoke and clear were available in the Japanese market. And then last year, smoke got more of a worldwide release. And people are still waiting for the clear. Because I think, I mean, that's my preference, right? Is the clear. It's not everyone's preference, clearly.
Clearly.
I just caught that. it made me stop. I was like, whoops. But I think it's the best. It's been one of the most popular ones. And now you can get it. This was supposed to happen some point last year from talking to Pilot. I don't know. You know, things just get delayed and whatever. But now if you ever wanted the 823 clear, you should be able to access it without having to go to the Japanese market, which is how I got mine. 8 years ago, maybe more, something like that. It's been a long time, like, that it's been available and just not easily accessible. And most of the retailers would not sell that product to an overseas address, right? You had to get like someone to carry it for you, kind of thing, or, you know, use a service to bring that over to you. So now it's available and it's cool. And so now my hope and dream is that we start getting that, if they will expand the colors on this lineup, because it hasn't changed in as long as I've been following the 823, but they have, Pilot does the great translucent barrel colors in the 74s and the 92s, where they have the blues and the oranges and the purples and things like that. So I wouldn't mind seeing, hey, Throw me a purple translucent 823. I would really enjoy that, Pilot. So
yeah, it's quite staggering how much better looking the clear is than the amber.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, it's staggeringly different. In a way that I don't know if I would have necessarily expected. But that the clear is very good looking. Very good looking.
Smoke's close to the amber and just like aesthetic overall appearance, right? They're deeper, darker, but the you put the clear next to them, it's like, oh, this is different. While it's being like literally the same pen, it looks very, very different. So I did a review in 2015 of the amber model. I had it on loan from a friend, And because, like, it's just a fascinating pen and I wanted to review it, this is before owning my own. So to your point about the Amber model, I wrote, aesthetically, there's no arguing its beauty, but it's not for me. I was actually hoping to fall in love with it while it was on loan to me. And while it is an elite writer, I never bonded with it visually. And that's in just talking about the Amber.
I mean, it's very different looking, the Amber. I feel like they're... have not been lots of pens like this. I mean, I guess maybe now with something like Autumn, like that color range is becoming more seen. But like the actual like amber look is quite unique, especially considering it is also still a demonstrator pen. It makes it different, but I do think it's a bit of an acquired taste.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the Amber, which caught me off guard back when, even back then, and looking at pictures of it now, the finials are not black. They're chocolate brown, which is hard to pick up in pictures.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. almost milk chocolatey. I mean, it's maybe a little bit like more of a dark chocolate, but they're brown, which if you look at most pictures, like unless you're really paying attention, they look black.
I guess that's fitting with the amber. Like,
yeah.
One of the things, like for me personally, is the amber looks like a clear pen that got stained. You know, like it has that kind of look to it.
Yeah,
and maybe that's what you want. It has got a kind of evocative vintage look to it.
So if you're not familiar with the 823 and you're getting into fountain pens, like this is kind of like one of those aspirational pens. This is a pen that a lot of people could be like a one and only type of pen because the nibs on the Pilot 823, this size nib is fantastic. There's a lot of different nib choices now that are available for this. So it's one of the best out of the box writing experiences. And then it has a large ink capacity with the vacuum filling system. So it's like a built-in vacuum filling system. So this pen has a lot going for it, and still at the, you know, at a, like, honestly, a reasonable price point, despite being like, yes, you know, on its own, it's expensive at like $330 something. I'm not looking at the link, but for what you get and the time you'll spend with this pen, like I still think it's very, very fairly priced. Good price.
$336 on Pen Chalet.
Okay.
Retail $420.
Yep. So this was a 10% price increase from like 3 years ago. So they were $288 for, I mean, years and years and years and years. So it's a pretty small increase for a pretty great pen.
Very cool. All right, this episode is brought to you by our friends at the Canalea Pen Co. Canalea makes stunningly beautiful pens inspired by images of Hawaii. Canalea's founders, Hugh and Carol, believe that these locations can help recharge our spirit and connect us with nature. And we are once again incredibly excited that we get to share information about Canalea's newest release, the Blue Moana Collection. For this pen, Canalea are taking inspiration from the beautiful blue expanse of the ocean, with deep, swirling, glistening blues found throughout the pen, showing both the beauty and the depths of the oceans around the islands of Hawaii. The Blue Moana collection features fountain pens in Canalea's 5 profile options, as well as a ballpoint pen as well. But new with this collection, they're introducing a brand new band option, the Mauloa Band. The Mauloa Band visually represents the endless waves of the ocean, symbolizing the interconnectedness of all living things. And it is a perfect match, in my opinion, with the oceanic theme of the Blue Moana pen. Once again, this band is made of lovingly crafted Argentium silver, making an already special pen even more so. This joins the existing band option on other Canalea pens, the My Lei Lei. These are both available on the classic profile of the Blue Moana. Canalea fountain pens feature Yowo No. 6 nibs. You can buy steel or 18 karat gold nibs directly from Canalea. They offer sizes from extra fine to 1.1mm stub. Hugh smooths and tunes every single nib before it leaves the shop because Canalea want to make sure that when your pen arrives, it's perfect for you and writing beautifully, and you'll get it straight out of their lovely black walnut keepsake box. Best boxes in the business. With each purchase of a pen from the Blue Moana collection, Canalea will also be making a donation to the Maui Food Bank and the Maui Humane Society, giving back to the communities that inspire these wonderful designs. You can find out more about Canalea's whole offering and place an order today at canaleapenco.com. That's canaleapenco.com. There'll be links in the show notes too. Our thanks to Canalea Penco for their support of this show and Relay FM. So we both have this pen.
We both have this pen.
What one do you have?
Yes.
Okay.
I have more than one.
Oh, okay. Well, I have the one with the new band.
Mike, I have one with the new band too.
Good.
And so, I have a comparison to the style that they know that I love in the classic Flush without the band. So why don't you go first, talk about the band, and then I can talk about like the comparison between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say for the pen itself, the Blue Moana, it is a good staple for the lineup, right?
Yes.
People love blues. This is a perfect blue. Like, this feels like the doing exactly what they want it to do. It looks like the ocean, right? And having blues of different darkness levels kind of gives that look. And plus, you know, we've spoken about this. Canalea have this incredible acrylic, which shows a depth that I don't understand, like the way that they do their shimmers. And so, like, I'm turning this pen now, and it looks like light shining on the water. Like, it really is very, very special the way they're able to do this. And I would say this is like a very good, like, staple piece of the collection. Like, how they have the all red one, I think that's the Kona Cherry. We have like an all blue now with the Blue Moana. Like, I think this is like good to have these. But for me, the star is the band. So I have two pens of the My Lay Lay band. And like, for me now, the bands that are on these pens are part of the experience. Like, if I wanted a Canalea pen, I want these bands. They make the pens look special. The caps feel fantastic to hold. Like, I really like it. And this new one, the Mauloa, is beautiful. So it kind of, you could look at it and it could either mean to you, I think, waves, or it could also look like the air, right? Like, it could, like, wind. Mm-hmm. It's got that same kind of like flowing design. And I think that it just looks fantastic on this pen and is like a excellent pairing, right, for like showing waves. So I love it. I think it looks brilliant. I'm very, very, very pleased with it.
This is the design that's going to make me buy a Canalea pen with a band on it.
Oh, there he is.
I think it's that good. Yeah. The Mauloa design, nothing against the My Lay Lay. It's obviously gorgeous and perfect. But the way this one fits with this pen in style and aesthetic, you said it right, where this might be the Canalea experience from a pen perspective and what they're known for, because of the way these bands fit with the aesthetic of the brand and the pen and the creation. So what happened with me when I was opening up the box, I opened it up and pulled the pen out, right? So, you know, I'm taking a look at it and I'm like, wow, this band is amazing. And then it was funny, just yesterday I was talking about this type of material that I prefer in acrylic type pens, where you have partial solid swirls and then partial translucent swirls. And then lo and behold, like, this is what I pull out of the box here, where you're like, there's areas where you can see straight through the pen, like in the blue. And then there's areas where it's solid and you can't see through, and finding all the areas where the blue pops through is just like, that's the coolest thing. You sit there and twist and turn the pen in your hand. So I was like, awesome. They, you know, sent me one with the band to check out. And I was like, man, I really, really love this pen. And then I looked at, I was actually going to put it back in the box, and I was like, well, there's another pen in here. I was like, what's the deal here?
This is clever from them, because obviously you've not been a big band boy like me. So like, they want you to see it, but they want you to have the best experience with the pen as you would have it, I would expect, right?
Yeah. So the problem for me is that they put it, the Mauloa band model in with the model that I always buy, which is the classic Flush model. So now I have like a one-to-one comparison, and I'm like, you know what? I think I like the one with the band more, which I can't believe I'm saying, because it's a total package, right? Like, it, the way it works from a design perspective, is what gets me. And it's like, I'm looking at the classic flush. I'm like, yeah, this is my favorite. This is my favorite pen. This is, I have three other Canaleas. They're all the same shape, all the same style. And this one doesn't have the Mauloa band. And I'm like, it feels kind of naked looking at it. So I think back to your point, it's like kind of the deal almost now to have these bands on there. So yeah, I have some thinking to do here, Mike, but I really, really love it. And I don't have to tell anyone about the fit and finish of these pens. They're maybe the best on the market, the way these pens feel. Mm-hmm. And how the quality level of the finish, you know what I'm talking about, threads and edges and polishing and all of those things. So yeah, really, really great. Very happy with these. And I might be a big band boy now, Mike.
Yep. I actually checked. I have three with bands. To me, it is, I think, essential as part of the pen. Like, I feel, for me, like, you know, people will choose whatever they want, but, and you should.
Well, it makes sense when you say it that way now.
Yeah, because they look so great. It makes that profile look visually more balanced for me. Like, I don't like the classic profile, but with the classic, with the band, you don't actually notice that it's a different thickness. I feel like visually,
so that's
the band kind of breaks it.
Since I had both of these here, I was like, oh, is this the same barrel model? And it's not. So yeah, I actually had that thought.
But also, like, I genuinely have always felt that Canaleo pens are great keepsakes and great gifts, and adding the jewelry element of the bands kind of pushes it a little bit further in my mind. And I think that this pairing that they've done is really special. So
Like, a lot of people will buy these. We get questions, like, people will buy these for a specific reason, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm celebrating this, or I'm getting married, or I need a gift, or something like that. So yeah, like, having that band option is perfect.
All right, let's move on. All thank right. you, Canaleo, for sending those to us.
Yeah, really, really cool. So yeah, I got some writing to do. Maybe, Mike, I will write it in the IA writer notebook.
Yeah.
So we talk about this. We talked about this when they snuck this in. I want to say it was like December last year.
December.
When IA came out. Like, so just a quick disclaimer. Can you explain better than I what IA does?
Yeah. IA, the company is known as Information Architects. That's the sort of the IA stands for. They've been around for a really long time. They created a text editor for iOS at first called IA Writer. And their whole thing was, it was impeccably designed. They even created their own font, I think, for the app. And they have since gone on to, you know, they're continuing to build out IA Writer into the best it can possibly be right over time. It's like a perfect text editor. They also now have IA Presenter, which is a, for like what they did for text editing, now doing for a like Keynote or PowerPoint like app too. And then last year they were like, hey, we've just been working on this thing that we think is fun, and it's a notebook. And the notebook's whole thing, which we spoke about at the time, that I still remain skeptical of, is that it has lines, but the lines are debossed into the paper very lightly. So
I didn't realize, so I've used IA Writer, and it's a beautiful piece of software. Mm-hmm. Like, like if I had different needs for my digital writing, I've bought IA in the past and used it and loved it. I actually use the fonts. They offer the fonts for free. You can download them, use them in other applications. But I didn't realize that IA is based in Japan, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. They may have a global workforce, but I thought I was reading some of that. So they have taken that Japanese aesthetic and put it into this notebook, which we talked about before. So what Mike's describing is this letterpress type paper.
Yeah, found it in Tokyo. Didn't know that.
Yeah. I only knew that because how intense they were getting about this notebook. And I was like, okay, you're in. you are in the place you need to be to make this. So I have used... I'm going to do a... I keep saying I need to do a review of this. So Plotter offers some of this letterpress type paper where it's ostensibly a lined notebook, but the lines come from a deboss on the page as opposed to a printer, right? They're not a printed line on the page. in the plotter pages I use, and they're called the same thing, letterpress pages. That's why I keep calling it that. They're actually hard to see, right? So it's a, to me, it's more of a blank page. The way they photograph this IA writer notebook, they seems like maybe the debossing is a little bit deeper, which could be interesting for non-Japanese characters, right? So if you're looking at their text writing, you know, the Japanese characters don't have a lot, and I may be speaking on a turn here, but I'm just looking at the writing on the page. They don't have a lot of below the line markings, right? Where if I'm writing like a lowercase p or a g or something like that, I'm going below the line. So whether you feel that dip in the line, you know, to be determined, right? With the letterpress plotter paper, I don't, but I also have a tough time seeing it. So I don't know that I'm getting the benefits of the line, but I wanted this notebook when it first came out, and they just did almost like an alpha release. They just did a very small pre-order, and I didn't get in on that, so I didn't look at them again. So they came back out this week saying, hey, we reopened pre-orders now, and I went and looked, and the notebook's $74. So I wanted to talk about that for a minute, because that took me aback a little bit, but maybe not for the reasons that you think. I definitely thought, okay, I'm going to stop throwing things in my cart now because that feels pretty expensive, because I'm looking at it as strictly a review product, as opposed to, hey, I need a notebook today, and or like, I need a notebook in the next week or two. I'm going to finish my notebook. Let me get another special notebook to use. I would have no qualms paying $74 for this notebook, to be perfectly honest. It's 142 pages, A5 size. You know, it's not the biggest, you know, page size. And it is, you know, without a doubt expensive, but like, I've paid twice as much for notebooks before, but they usually come with different cover styles, cover embellishments. Like, I have no qualms paying Masubi for these hand-bound notebooks with, you know, indigo denim covers, and paying $150 for that. Like, I didn't even think twice, right? The craftsmanship that goes in this one. This one gave me a little pause, because it seems like, you know, it's I grant a lot of things to get to this price, right? Smaller company, smaller print runs. Notebooks are expensive to make. Notebooks are expensive to ship.
They're doing a strange process. Like, the process of producing this book will be more expensive than a comparable book.
Yep. So, it, like, in a vacuum, I don't have a problem with the price. But then, like, I'm also love Midori notebooks, that you're not getting something too far different from this for like $20 or $24, right? So I'll still probably get one, but I don't know. I got to think about it, and I haven't looked at the shipping costs, because they'll ship from Japan as well.
I just ordered one because I'm intrigued, and it was £60 and £20 shipping.
Okay, yeah, so it's super expensive, right? Yeah. But like, I just want to be clear. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing, no, right?
I just believe this is what they cost, and then they added like on top of it, like,
yeah, yeah. You know, I, but like,
my biases are, I make expensive notebooks,
sure,
and
sure.
So like, basically, one of the things that I actually had a meeting with my manufacturer this morning, and we were talking about some stuff that we're working on for Cortex brand, and basically where I have landed on this kind of stuff is, if you make a good product, you can charge whatever you want for it, and either people will buy it. This is so simple. Either people will buy it, or they won't buy it, and they'll be happy about it, or they won't be. As long as you're happy that this product is worth it, then you can charge whatever you want, and people will either buy it or they won't, and then that's up to you. Right? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You don't. If you think this is too expensive, like, you don't need to buy it, right? Like, it's pretty simple. But maybe people that do will be like, oh man, like, this is pretty good, you know?
Yeah. So I think a good comparison, which I just thought of while we're talking to this, is the difference between, say, a standard lacquered Retro 51 Tornado, which is about $25, or a Studio Neat Mark One, which they start about like $69, yep. Right? Like, they're the exact same writing experience, because they use the same refill, right? The writing experience you're going to get is the exact same, because the refill is the exact same. So do you value the extra care and craftsmanship or in like this, the Mark One, or do you prefer the fun, whimsical designs in the retro? And like both answers can be right. This is like what we talked about last week. Yeah. Like both of these things can be right for different people. And like seeing this notebook priced at $74, knowing, being a huge fan of Japanese notebooks, it took me back a little bit, but I, at the same time, I also understand it. So I haven't ordered one yet. I do want to try it. Maybe I'll let you go first, but you're very curious about the lines. I've tried the lines. I just want to see
I'm curious from just the paper quality design standpoint, because I buy lots of notebooks now. Like this is something I don't really talk about on the show because I actually don't think it is relevant. I'm buying notebooks, Brad, like you would not believe. Like the other day, I bought 5 journals from a company. Like I'm just buying loads of stuff because I want to see, I want inspiration. Like I want to see what's out there. And I want to, like, I'm buying more stuff to look at to try and build my own expectations for how a product should and shouldn't work, or how something should or shouldn't be laid out. And so I bought one of these. I mean, it says it won't ship until at least June, so you'll be waiting for a while.
Okay, I see that right now. First batch will ship mid-June,
But I bought this because I just want to see, like, what does this feel like? I don't think that this is, I don't understand this, which is why I want to buy it. Like, I don't know what genuinely would make this notebook good except the fact that it looks nice, which is also fine, but, like, I'm just not sure that I'm, like, down on the utility of, like, letterpress lines on a paper. Like I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that provides.
This is what makes such an interesting product for me, because there's so many unanswered questions, which makes me want to order it, right? Because I look at things too. I'm not looking at this as like, oh, I need a new notebook to use to fit like a specific need. I'm looking as like, I mean, I'm going to see what they're doing here. Yeah. Kind of like you. It's like, just hey, what's the deal here? So yeah, it looks cool. I will probably get one, but I did kind of back out yesterday thinking about the price and just wanted to think about it a little bit more. So on staying on the paper front, Mike, this one might interest you too, because Bullet Journal and Leuchtturm have come out with a pocket journal. The Bullet Journal Pocket is what it's called. So it's a 3-pack of your pocket size notebooks, like a field note size. But what they're describing is funny. So Leuchtturm uses international paper size standards, I believe, for most of their stuff. Like their main journal is A5, right? The Leuchtturm we always see is A5. They're calling this, this is marketing, one double page, Mike. So if you open the notebook and you have it folded open, that's a double page, offers the space of an entire A5 page. So wouldn't these just be A6 notebooks? Like that's how this works. That's why international paper sizes are a thing.
Yeah,
why
but would Brad, you? It doesn't work if you need to market the product, right? Like if this we're one... look, what they're trying to do is they're trying to sell it to you, right? Like people know what an A5 notebook is. I'm expecting people don't really know what A6 is, right? Yeah. And so they're like, hey, this is just an A5 notebook you can fold in half and put in your pocket, right? Like, this is just the marketing of the product, right?
I love this. I don't know why this is making me crack up, but instead of, like, they could save so many words. But it's just the marketing, right? Because, like, the bullet journal is designed mostly around these A5 notebooks, or you can roll your own, and most of the examples are done in A5 notebooks, but you can really roll it in anything you want. I'm having real trouble with this.
I'm not sure why this gets you so much. I don't get it.
It's just so dumb. It's an A6. It's an A6 pocket notebook. It's like, that's cool. Like, that's cool to me. But they're just selling it to the people who have the A5 notebooks. Like, hey, it's the same if you just open the notebook.
I don't think this is dumb. I think this is a smart way to talk about it. Because, like, who really knows what A6 is? Like, genuinely. Like,
no,
I'm in this world and I forget if A6 is smaller or bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
aside from that silliness, it's a beautiful product, right? So, again, bullet journals. If you're a bullet journaler, you can use like literally any notebook, any paper style. Like you don't have to have a specialized product. That's the kind of the beauty of the system. But what this offers for the price, so it's 20 euros for a 3-pack of the notebooks. They're 46 pages. So like a Field Notes is 48 pages. So it's like the same size or the same page count. But as with the other bullet journal branded pockets products through Leuchtturm, you get the extra accessories like sticker sheets that help you with the planning days of the week, different like task stickers and things like that. So it's cool. Like I actually want to get a set of these just to see how they are, because the last bullet journal specific notebook, the A5, the big thick one with the big thick pages, was really, really popular, and they did a really good job with that. So
I say truly beautiful notebook. I am so jealous of how incredibly well made that product is. Yes, at a price that sometimes I understand.
It's a knockout.
I don't understand how that product costs what it costs. Like I can't wrap my head around it. Like it's straight up
knockout.
Way
of a
too cheap for what it is. Yeah. So
like even if you don't bullet journal, like that journal is mostly just normal plain pages for you to use, and it's just a stunner of a journal.
I don't understand how something can have so much foiling on it. It's so cheap. I mean, I guess this is like, what happens when like your branded product is essentially owned by Leuchtturm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's something because like look, that product like will benefit from all of the cost efficiencies of just a regular Leuchtturm 1917. Like they are running those out from a manufacturing perspective at the same time that they're doing the rest of their journals, and that is just like an efficiency you can't get unless you own your own machinery. Like it just doesn't work.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to get these. I think they look great. And every time I see the Leuchtturm stuff, I always forget that I need to order myself one of the Dre Griffel pens. Totally mispronouncing that, I understand. I reviewed the bullet journal one and I ended up giving it away, but it's such a good pen. They have a ballpoint version, a gel pen version, and a pencil version. I'm probably going to get like one of each and do some different colors. I think it's just this classic modernization of a design that they've had forever, and I think they executed it perfectly. So I just I have a review of the bullet journal model. We can link that in the show notes, and I loved it, but I had planned on giving it away, so I did. So I don't have my own, but I need to get that. Maybe I'll get an orange one, and you can put like words on it. Like you can get it, you know, I can put like the Pen Addict on it or something like that. So I might do that. Order it directly from them. So where else can I order pens from, Mike?
Wait, you can customize pens with them?
Yeah.
That's kind of sick. Well, I didn't see that.
Click on the other link that I put in there.
Yo, that's Brad. That is
doesn't have it on there.
Awesome. No, using graving service. Yeah, it's the colors are so good.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I need to get one of these.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Damn. Leuchtturm. Yep. Killing it out here, man.
Crushing it.
This is a good-looking pen. I like this way more in all the colors than the bullet journal version.
Yeah.
I think this is much nicer looking.
That was probably my idea when I was getting
that lemon
it.
One.
It's like, I'll wait and, you know, I like this one, but I'll wait and get, I'll review this one and then get my own specific one at some point.
What refills does it take?
I think they're like Parker style, but they have a gel refill model, which is interesting.
Man, I should have added this to the cart before I bought that bullet journal notebook. I sit on this podcast now, I'm quietly buying all the notebooks. You don't even know what I'm up to over here anymore.
Exactly.
I'm just sitting here and I'm just adding to cart.
Well, I have been there before and I might be about to be there again, right?
Uh-huh. Because we're talking about our friends over at Pen Chalet. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Pen Chalet. Ron told me, Brad, that he's got a bunch of... let me find the exact wording because I thought it was exciting. Maybe you're going to enjoy this. So I email Ron every week and I'm like, hey, Ron, do you got anything special for us this week? Like, what do you want us to talk about? And he said, I have discounted items that we have very limited selections on. So there are better deals than normal, but they're not going to last. So how about that?
Okay. So yeah, I'm seeing a few.
That. And I'll tell everybody that Pen Chalet believe in fast and reliable customer service. They're adding new products every month. You're going to find new stuff and new deals as well. Pen Chalet have all of your favorite brands and the products that you're looking for. Whether you're looking for a new fountain pen, a new mechanical pencil, some ink, a pen carrying case, whatever it is, accessories, every type of pen you could ever wish for is over at Pen Chalet. They do free shipping on orders of over $75 in the United States, and they sell internationally with very reasonable shipping rates. Pen Chalet has low prices on high quality pens and offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to, don't forget, our new URL at penchalet.com/penaddict, and you will get 10% off anything over at Pen Chalet, and you will see this week's exclusive offers, the good ones, the real good ones for listeners of this show. What you got, Brad?
So they have a bunch of interesting Conklins that are kind of like in the beginner pen range. Well, they're priced as like you can afford to, like if you want to try some of these with like a stub nib or, you know, some really pretty materials. Like I'm looking at the Conklin Symmetric, which is kind of this amber color and then has a stub nib option. Like that's not something that a lot of first time fountain pen users are getting in a lot of pens, you know, outside of like a Twisby or something like that. So that's a pretty cool option,
Brad,
to
Dowdy,
have. Yo,
the prices of these Viscontis, my
I'm
word.
Getting there. I'm getting there. All right, I was trying to ease our way into
madness.
It. Chill.
Run. You spoil us.
I'm already silly today. So I'm having a hard time getting past this Diplomat ballpoint pen, which I've never seen. So it's the Elox Rings, which is not one that I have. So instead of like the fluted barrels that the Diplomat Arrows have, the rings obviously have a rings around the barrel. And this gray and orange one is just like crazy cool. And I like the shape. And I think it would probably work good in a standard pen. So this is a ballpoint. I don't even know what type of refills they have, but I'm going to have to look at that afterwards. And then they have the Elox Matrix, which is kind of like the line art version of it. It kind of looks like something that I would draw. That's a really good price. Then you get into the Viscontis. Oh no, this is the one I wanted to talk about. One of the Heinz pens that was an exclusive for I think it was a Fountain Pen Day one from last year, an exclusive with Pen Chalet. Like you don't normally get that type of stuff at a sale price, and there's a couple different models there, two different materials, and that's a really really crazy good price. And then you get into these Viscontis. I don't know if I can, like, you can't really say the price, but there's some popular models, like the Lotus Garden one was a really popular one. I can't imagine he has many of those in stock, and that's just a knockout of a price. So there's a few other ones in there too, but it's pretty great stuff.
Yep, as always, there's loads of stuff going on there. You can go check it out for yourself over at penchalet.com/penaddict. Our thanks to Pen Chalet for the support of this show and Relay FM.
All right, we got a shout out of the week, Mike.
Shout out of the week.
Pretty sure I've given Tom at Sugar Turtle Studio some love before, but I just wanted to get on him this time because he posted, he's been in Japan for like 2 weeks or something like that, and his Instagram has been awesome. There's a picture of him smiling with like three bags from Atoya on there. So if you aren't already following Sugar Turtle Studio, definitely go give them a follow. And this latest, his most recent picture was his haul picture. How many pens do you think are in this picture if you've pulled it up? I mean, we got to be in like the couple hundred.
One, I would probably say too many.
No.
Well, maybe too many for just one person, you know?
Also, no.
Like, that might be something that is impossible to handle. But yeah, there's some cool stuff here, man. You kidding me?
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is the sticker in the middle of that image. I don't know what that is. And
It looks like a dancing fountain pen nib?
Kind of. Also looks like a bottle topper, but it looks has
pencil.
This nib design. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll have to, if Tom listens to this, he'll have to tell me what that sticker indicates.
So when I first opened this up, I thought this was like a pen show table.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
So Tom does pen shows. So,
no, yeah. But like, I thought that this, so is Tom buying this stuff to sell at pen shows?
No.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, right? Like, when I saw this, I was like, oh, look, here's a pen show table.
Oh, no.
No, it's just Tom's stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally.
Totally. All right.
So, yeah, I'm still owed a couple of things from, I think, the Baltimore Pin Show. Kimberly picked me up some of the recent stuff from Sugar Turtle Studio. So go check him out. Not only is Tom awesome people, he makes cool stuff. And then you can go check out the Japan trip picks. So
wild.
All right. Last little mini topic here, Mike. I wanted to put you on the spot with a little game that my friend Rachel from Rachel's Reflections put out on the stationary internet, and I answered a little bit in this week's Panatic Members newsletter, where the concept is to take a brand that you have a decent amount of pins in, you know, some of the bigger brands, Pilot, Sailor, you know, Kaweco, Lamy, whatever, and you can only keep one of those pins out of your collection. So the ones I talked about, I did Pilot, and I ended up on my Pilot Custom Heritage 912 with the PO nib and the Maquier artwork. And then I did Sailor, which I ended up with the Mekon Mini, the little orange tangerine from Bungu Box, which has a stack nib on it. And then I did Edison, which I did the Edison Beaumont Palomino Waltz at Sunset Baltimore Limited Edition. So all these, like, I tried to pick some that would be really difficult for me, right, to like choose if I could only have one. Like the Pilots, I probably had 15 different pins in my collection that I really, really like from Pilot, and to pick one is like pretty crazy. So I decided to ask you what you might pick, and like I threw a couple brands out there, Sailor being one that I knew you had a pretty sizable amount of Sailor. So what did you think about this?
Yeah, I struggled because I was like, do I go sentimental and go with like the orange pro gear or just pro gear in general? Mm-hmm. Even though I think I prefer from a writing experience the 1911, and so I was going backwards and forwards. Like, no, I think I'll go King of Pen, but I wrote Pro Gear King of Pen down in a document, but I'm actually, I'm not sure. It's definitely King of Pen, but I'm trying to think between Pro Gear and 1911 King of Pen, you know?
Yeah, so which model? So the 1911, you have the orange.
Yeah.
What else?
I only have the 1911 Pro Gear King of Pen.
Okay, so then
the 1911 King of Pen, and I have one Pro Gear King of Pen as well.
The Pro Gear, you also have a Rushid, right?
I'm taking that out of the conversation, okay, though, because that's like that was custom done, right? But like,
see, I included that stuff. Well, then, so both my Pilot, 912 has external artwork on it, like Maquier artwork done aftermarket. And like, it's nowhere near the most expensive Pilot that I have, and my Sailor choice is nowhere near the most expensive Sailor that I had, but they were like the most sentimental and kind of like seemed like the one.
Yeah, it makes it easier then. I mean, so I would say I think in general I prefer the 1911 shape to the Pro Gear in King of Pen, but mm-hmm. I would choose my Jonathan Brooks custom Urushi Pro Gear King of Pen for my Sailor. And then this is made my, I also wanted to do Platinum because I have a few Platinums now.
Yeah.
And this makes this one even easier for me. So I have the 3776 Galaxy Starlight. This was the pen where the nib broke on the day that I bought it, and that took months to replace. Then I chipped it. So there's a chip in the cap. This is like a lacquer full of Urushi. Like it's, they don't make this pen anymore, which I think is a tragedy. Like it's just one of the most beautiful pens I own, not just one of the Platinums. But now I also have the stacked nib from CY in this one too.
Oh, okay.
So like this pen is just like, if there was a fire, this is a pen I'd, this is one of the pens I'd go for, because this one is so special to me now because we've been through so much together. And I bought it I bought it 1 year for like a relay anniversary gift. I think I bought it around the 5th anniversary. Like that
sounds about right.
That was what I bought this pen for. Yeah, because I remember we were trying to get it dealt with during COVID.
Gotcha. Oh,
like,
yeah.
That started just like 6 months later or whatever.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So we kind of did the same thing when I chose my Pilot. I picked the pen that had the most stories attached to it, right? It's almost like the most sentimental type of thing. which that's pretty interesting that we both kind of went down that path for this thing. So cool.
Well, I think these items, that's what it's about, right? You grow an attachment to them. I'm trying a lot more in my life, and I actually think I have a natural inclination towards this, but I'm trying a lot more in my life to be aware of things being damaged and the importance. Like, you know, you're familiar with wabi-sabi?
Sure.
So it's a Japanese phrase, like it's a term that I love, which essentially just means that like the wear and tear of an item and its like imperfections are what makes it perfect. And I've definitely tried subscribing to that more and more in my life because I think that these things, they're made to be used, and so they should be used, and therefore they should show the effects of that use. Like, you know, I bought a nice watch and then the next day banged it against a door frame and put a tiny scratch in the case. And it's like, well, that's part of the story of this watch now and how it fits into my life. And I believe that these items that we care about, I don't believe in just collecting them. Like, I want to own them and I want to use them. And that use should show in the product over time, and it adds to its beauty and its story. So the fact that my 3776 has a big chip in the side of the cap is actually part of its story.
Yep, I could not agree more.
Should we finish out with an Ask TPA today?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. This one comes from Kay, who says, your mission, cheap and cheerful. I want to be cheered up. I'm open to anything in the stationery realm of a smallish budget. Think cheerful and or whimsical.
I love this question. It's pretty hard. It's like to put that on someone else. It's like I'm going to pick something for you. Am I going to pick something for me? It's like trying to answer it. It's like, I'm stressing out over it. I know there's a couple of things that jumped immediately to mind. One is the Platinum Preppy, but not any Platinum Preppy. They do this limited edition style called the WA, where they take the same Preppy barrels, make them in fun translucent colors, and have these great different patterns on there. And I think there's a new batch coming out here pretty soon this year. They started this a few years ago, and I think they've been very successful, and you can find like a different pattern that's coming to you. So like last time was like a lot of like art style patterns, and I think the next one coming out has some more little animal patterns on there, things like that. So that's a really cool one from a fountain pen. I would also choose like a multi pen. Like I think multi pens are endlessly fun, and you can get some really fun colors, like the Jetstream 3 color, which is like a black ballpoint, a red ballpoint, and a pencil, and some cool barrel colors for like $6.50, right? Like, so the Preppy, I think they're around like $8 or something like that. Yeah, something like that. And the multi-pen, the Uni Jetstream multi-pen is about $6, $6.50, and it's a really good pen for that price, and you get like a 3-in-1. You get a pencil included in there. And then one of my most favorite stationery items, Mike, which I have gone through so many packs of these, I use sticky note flags, but only funny ones. So okay. I found like a sushi one before. I just finished this Shiba dog one. I've used like, I don't know how many sticky notes are in here, like 60. And I've like completed the whole thing. And now I have a ninja one that I'm getting ready to open up.
Where do you use these? Like, what are you using them for?
I use them a lot for giveaways and write people's names on them.
Right. So that's
a little. And then every now and then I'll use it as a bookmark and a notebook, but I'm really using it just to tag other things. And I go through a ton of these, and they're the most fun. They're some of the most fun stationery I have. They literally sit on my desk within arm's reach at all time. So that's like three different products you can get for like under $20 there and just have endless amount of fun. But I can't recommend these sticky note flags highly enough, right? Just because of the character artwork on there is really, really great.
All right. If you would like to send in a question for your own for us to answer on a future episode, just go to penaddictfeedback.com. You can also send in your follow-up there too. If you want to find Brad online, go to penaddict.com, spokedesign.com. Brad is at penaddict, and you can find him on twitch.tv/penaddict as well. You can find me. I'm at iMike, I-M-Y-K-E, and you can find my products at cortexbrand.com. Thank you to Penn Chalet and the Cantalea Pen Co. for their support of this week's episode. But most of all, as always, thank you for listening. Until next time, say goodbye, Brad.
Goodbye, Brad.